What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition. This week, we're going to be interviewing one of our clients, Nancy. She's been with us for about 3 or 4 months now, and she's doing great, killing it. I think she's almost down 30 pounds. So we wanted to just talk to her and get a little insight on how she is, how she's doing, and how this program worked for her. But first, just want to do a little check-in with Tom. So what's going on with you this week?
So last week, I was talking about how I wanted to either do a marathon or like an obstacle course. I couldn't really decide, so you know what, I think 2019, I'm going to do both. So first, I'm going to train for my marathon, make sure my shoulder's fully recovered, and then by the time that takes place, I'm hoping my shoulder should be good, and then a couple months after that, I'll already be in really, really good shape. So I'm going to train for an obstacle course right after that. So I've been doing some different types of training.
Are you thinking like an Ironman?
No, an Ironman is crazy, and I'm not that good of a swimmer.
So what's an obstacle course mean? Like, what do they call
it? You know, like a Spartan race.
Oh, so that's what I was thinking of. Okay, got it. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a Tough Mudder.
Okay.
My brother, he's done a couple of them, so I might do
one. Oh, shit. If he could do it, you can do it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay. No offense to him.
You know what? He might listen because I grabbed his phone and made him download this.
Okay, so good.
He might be listening to this. Good. Hey, Sim, what's up if you are? congratulations, Sim. He just got married about a week ago.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right, so yeah, I've been doing a little bit of training. I've been doing some sprints uphill. Did some HIIT training at the gym where I kind of did a little bit different than most typical marathoners would do. I don't want to lose a lot of strength, so I'm still doing my turtle cheetah with box jumps. So what that is goblet squats on top of a Bosu ball. So I'm activating a lot of stabilizing muscles as well. After I do 5 to 10 goblet squats, depending, do straight-legged bent over rows. So it's kind of like a deadlift working. Goblet squats are going to work a lot of the front part of your muscles on your legs, so a lot of quads. Then when you do the deadlifts, you're doing a lot of hamstrings, so, you know, balancing that out.
You mean
out.
A stiff leg deadlift?
Yeah.
Not a bent over row.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Got it. Yeah, like a Romanian deadlift. That's another word for them.
Yeah, you keep your legs straight, you bend over, you stand up, bend over, stand up.
Yeah.
I don't know, too much gym terminology. All this stuff starts sounding together after a few years. Then right after I do those two, straight into box jumps to get that explosiveness and to really get my heart rate up to its max. I did about 5 of those, and then I did 6 sprints on the bike. Going to do a lot more running later on in my training, but I'm still getting my legs accustomed to it, getting the technique down. I also need to get some new running shoes. And then I ran 3 miles the other day straight, and I'm hoping to...
Outside?
Yeah, no, I did it in the gym for the first time, and then I biked for 40 minutes after. So I want to do at least an hour of that steady state training per week, and I'm going to do at least a mile more each week. So this week it's going to be 4 miles on that. And I'll probably do the first few sessions in a gym just so I can go from the treadmill to the bike until I'm getting in good enough shape where I can just run an hour outside by myself. So I'm still, you know, making sure I'm getting all that exercise.
Yeah, I like that split. Yeah,
right now my lungs aren't the limiting factor. It's that my shins start hurting. It's not really my shins. It's my tibialis anterior for you nerds out there. But yeah, it's basically what you refer to as shin splints. It's the front of your leg. There's a little muscle right there.
Super tiny.
Yeah, you don't train it. You don't really even know it's there until you start running. And then you feel it flare up and you think your shins are broken. But no, it's just that muscle's untrained and is hurting like hell. So that's usually like, yeah, this is getting unbearable. Let me go to the bike now. So once I, you know, get those muscles a little bit more trained, yeah, I'll be running outside. Luckily, the weather's starting to cool down too, so that's a lot more doable. I don't have to time it right, so it's not 110 degrees outside.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds like a good little progressive load. Working training slowly but surely. Yeah.
I mean, it's worked for a week.
When you run for an hour, how many miles do you think you'll put in?
It honestly depends. for whatever reason, when I go to a gym, I can run on a treadmill for a lot longer, but the pace seems to be a lot slower. I can't really run at a on a treadmill much more than like 8 miles an hour for a long period of time. But when I run outside, I can run much faster. I don't know if it's just the treadmills are off or something along those lines. So you're looking at somewhere between like a 8 to 10 minute mile for somebody like me. So an hour, 6 miles, 7 miles, something like that.
So once you can run for an hour, let's say you get in 6, 7 miles, are you going to start modulating the distance? So you try and increase, are you trying to increase the amount you run within that hour? So go from 6 miles to maybe 6.5 in that mile, I mean in that hour?
No, I'll just increase. I want to go from like, so this week, my goal is four miles. Mm-hmm. Next week will be 5 miles, 6 miles, 7 miles.
So you're just going to keep tacking on miles?
Yeah.
What's your end goal?
I don't think I want to do more than like 15, maybe 20 is the most. If I can do 15, I'm pretty sure I can do 26.
That sounds impressive.
If I can do 20, I know I can do 26. Because especially we're going to have all that competition, people around you, people cheering you on. You're going to have so many other factors going on that you know you're going to perform better than usual. And 26 miles, that's going to take, I'm not super fast, I'm not in shape. I'm not going to be running this thing in like 2.5 hours. It's going to take me 4 or 5 hours. It's going to be hard finding time to do that on a weekly basis.
That's true. Yeah, that's a big factor people don't think about.
Yeah, so I'm looking at, 2 to 3 hours at the most for like a run.
Even those are long ass sessions.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, like, you're not going to be doing anything else that, around that. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I've liked it so far. My nutrition's been pretty good. I'll be switching over to carnivore pretty soon. So I don't know if that's going to change up a whole lot or not. But being on this whole keto diet should help out a lot, especially with those longer runs.
Oh, yeah. It's built for it. I think you're going to have a huge advantage going in. You're going to beat people you shouldn't beat just because of how you eat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't ran competitively for over a decade. Definitely noticed that my running's been off a little bit, and it's not helping that I've been trying to run with my dogs a little bit, trying to, like, drag them behind me with their leashes, my running technique's all off, so I'm probably just going to have to go it alone, ditch my training partners for now.
Yeah, holding you back at this point.
What's new with you?
Yeah, this week for me, I guess I've been switching up my diet a little bit, starting to do some protein sparing modified fast. And what that is where you pretty much have meals where it's all protein, no carbs, no fat. And I'm doing that mainly because I'm doing something I call like a test cut. So I'm just starting to lean out and see how lean I can get, but still maintain some of my muscle. So I've done this plenty of times throughout my life. Every other year, or even every year, I feel like, okay, I want to get lean again. So I do it, but it's hard when you're a natural athlete. It's kind of contradictive to lose weight, but also keep your muscle. So it's hard. And, but my go-to meal this week was, and this is going to sound gross, but I have beef heart and tuna, like in a bowl. Does that sound gross?
Yeah,
definitely. It does, right?
Well, because I can't imagine you're adding anything to it to make it taste good.
Salt. I put salt on it.
Yeah, so like no mayonnaise,
no mustard, nothing.
Yeah,
so that's my protein meal. I have my post-workout meal. At this stage in my program, it still contains plenty of fat. I have egg yolks in it. I have dairy post-workout. But my second meal now, which I'm incorporating, is just a protein meal. And yeah, it's about a half pound of heart and a can of tuna. It's around 80 to 90 grams of protein. And you get about 8 grams of fat in the heart itself. The heart's very lean. And honestly, I actually think it's good. I know that sounds weird, but I've come to like the taste of heart, and tuna's fine. And I found this great tuna at my local grocery store. It's from America. It's all sustainably raised. It's all tested, low mercury. It's all humanely caught, so they don't use any nets. And it's expensive as shit. So think of it like organic grass-fed beef, but in the tuna world. But I think it's worth it. I always think it's worth it to spend money on the good food, because that's what you're putting into your body. So think of it like an investment in yourself. And I'm doing that. I feel like I already am getting leaner. One way I really track just overall body composition is with my weightlifting belt, is if I can notch it down another notch, which is a half inch, then I'm getting leaner. So the past few days, I've been able to notch my belt down another notch. So I'm already starting, my waist is starting to get smaller, which is a great sign. That's what you want. You want your shoulders to stay wide, your quads to stay thick, and your waist to get small. So that's what's going on now. And I feel good, feel strong, and hopefully I can keep this up. I mean, there's really, I guess maybe like 6 steps to really getting lean and keeping muscle. I think the first step would be getting fat adapted. The second step would be cutting your carbohydrates. The third step would be increasing your protein. Fourth step would be cutting out your fats. Fifth step, train your ass off. And then I guess the sixth step is just be miserable. Because this isn't a split you can maintain very long. That's why when you see bodybuilders doing bodybuilding prep, they do it for 8 weeks, they do it for 12 weeks. Because once you do get really, really lean, you can't have those protein-sparing, modified fast type of meals anymore, because your body can't pull fat from anywhere. So you have to start supplementing again with fat and just eating whole foods again. So I'm going to run this. I'm 2 weeks in. I'm thinking like 8 weeks. And by the eighth week, I'll be doing predominantly just protein meals and see how it goes. I can't help but experiment. It's just in my nature. So I'm always switching stuff up. So this is the new switch.
Well, I'm glad you're trying this experiment, because I am not about to try a beef heart and tuna meal. Like, that just sounds disgusting. I know I'm not the only one out there.
I know it sounds so gross, but it's honestly not bad. It's weird. I would rather have beef heart than, like, a sirloin steak. Like, I think sirloin steaks are disgusting, like those kind of leaner beef cuts, but something about heart, I don't know why I like it. Maybe because I think it makes me feel, like, different or hardcore, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like something about it mentally, I'm like, oh, I'll do this and nobody else will. So I think that's what kind of keeps me going.
That's funny that you're just talking about sirloin steak, because I just had sirloin steak for dinner last night.
Did you?
And I know there's no way in hell I would be able to convince my girlfriend, oh, hey, you know what, let's not do the sirloin tonight, let's do some beef heart and tuna.
I know. Yeah, I'm a little crazy,
but I'll be like, not even cooked in bacon fat or anything like
no,
that.
No, yeah, it's not cooked in bacon fat anymore. I used to cook my organ meats in bacon fat, not anymore. So, yeah, it's all just about modulating those macros and just getting leaner and leaner, pulling off that extra body fat, and hopefully crossing my fingers, I can stay full, I can stay strong, I can stay somewhat muscular. And like I said, it's hard to do naturally, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, man, I hope it works. Like, if you're going to put yourself through that much misery, it better work.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because normally I eat for, I guess, the past few weeks, maybe even a month or so, I've been eating one meal a day, and the meal's been huge, 3,000-4,000 calories, a lot of protein, a lot of fat, and now I've dialed back my first meal a little bit, and it used to be about 3 pounds of beef with some sort of accessory aspects to the meal, either eggs, sardines, something like that. Now it's only 2 pounds of beef, but I've added in that second meal, that all-protein meal. And it's funny that my hunger is now through the roof. Like, that second meal doesn't make me fuller. It makes me hungrier. And that's mainly because you're just getting all that protein. Your body gets that protein. It's like, yo, where's the fat? I need these extra calories to kind of metabolize this meal. And it sends that signal to your brain. It says, yo, go eat something. Go eat something. So I'll eat that second meal. And maybe for 20 minutes, I'll feel fine. But for the rest of the day, I'm pretty hungry. And that's why this isn't sustainable, because sooner or later, I don't care who you are, you can be King Kong, the baddest man on the planet, those hunger cues will get to you, and you'll go get a tub of ice cream. You'll go get pizza. You just will. You know, and even I will. I'm pretty determined, kind of crazy guy, but even I know I'll break. So that's why you incorporate these things for short periods, like 8 to 12 weeks. So I've been hungry as shit the past few days, but that's the name of the game, you know?
Yeah, with that low-fat diet, or a low-fat meal, you're not really activating those leptin receptors to let your body know, hey, there's plenty of fat here, I'm full, I don't need to eat for a while. So yeah, definitely a lot of science behind that.
Yeah, and it's just, whatever, it kind of sucks, but I'm not going to complain, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, and you're doing it for a reason, you're testing this out, it's a different way to prep. I mean, there's a lot of unhealthy ways that bodybuilders are doing the same thing. So if you can accomplish the same thing without, you know, starving yourself and doing a lot of, like, seriously harmful things to your body, you might as well see how you can optimize it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the more we know, the better coaches we can be, and the more we can spread this knowledge. Because I know it might not be the healthiest thing, getting your body fat down really low or even doing any sort of competition. But a lot of people out there want to do these things. And if I can find approaches that are the most holistic, you know, you don't need a ton of drugs to do it, or any drugs in my case, then I think it's worth it.
Yeah, and this isn't only going to help out bodybuilders and, like, fitness models. This will also help out people in, like, a weight class sport. Rowers, wrestlers, boxers, UFC fighters. Just how you can be your optimal you, but being the smallest you at the same time. I mean, even myself, if I'm going to be doing a marathon, I want to weigh as little as possible. But also, at the same time, I got to keep my fuel tank as full as possible too, so I'm not really trying to do too much fasting right now. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of benefits that can help out a lot of other sports other than just bodybuilding.
Yeah, it's true.
So let's get into the topic of this week. So today we're going to be interviewing Nancy. Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, I know Nancy pretty well. She's great. She's mother of three, hardworking, complete stud. She surprises me honestly every week what she's willing to put herself through, what she's willing to work hard to get. She has a goal in mind and she's willing to do whatever it takes to get there, and she's great. She's only had a few, maybe one or two slip-ups these last 4 months, and besides that, she's stuck to the plan, she's training hard, she's eating right, and she's seeing the results. And this is her story. We're going to let her describe what's going on with her and how she is.
Okay, so Nancy, just starting off, what made you want to reach out to us? What made you want to start improving your health?
I think my energy level was just low, and I had been wanting to lose weight, and I knew it was part my weight and the way I ate and my sleeping pattern. So I had reached out to Tyson probably like over a year ago, and we had conversation, and he gave me some pointers, and I kind of was just like, kind of like everyone else, like, okay, I'll try it. And, but then I think this year I think my energy level got super low and my stress level got super low that I just decided that it was time.
Yeah, everybody has that aha moment where they need to, you know, pick themselves up and make a change. So that's what happened with you?
Yeah, and I think that was the time that I was at, you know, it was time to, just better myself and just be able to, when my son was out running me, I knew it was time to do something about it.
Yeah, because you're not old.
Well, thank you. I felt old, believe me.
Oh yeah, that seems like a pretty big wake-up call for most people. Personally, back in high school, one of my friends that used to be fatter than me, like by 150 pounds, all of a sudden he lost a bunch of weight and he was running all the time, and then he invited me to go running with him, and that fool just smoked me. Like, it wasn't even close. And after that I was like, you know what, I need to get in better shape. This isn't cool anymore. So yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Oh yeah, I was definitely, you know, my son's probably always gonna outrun me, but when I couldn't even so much as keep up with him when he got in trouble and just ran off, it was like, and I just would run to the corner and be out of breath. It was like, you know, it's time to do something. It's not a way to live and be tired all the time drinking energy drinks and trying to just, you know, get that energy one way or the other. But didn't realize, you know, everything I was doing was just making me worse.
What changes have you noticed since you started with our program?
Changes, I have a lot more energy than I've had in, I can't tell you how long. Probably my youngest is 11 years old. So since I've had my kids, probably 11, it's been 11 years since I've been trying to go back and forth and lose weight and be healthier. I want to say the biggest change is I have energy. I'm able to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning, go to the gym for an hour, be back home by 5:30, out of the house by 6:30 with three kids, and get them to daycare. And that's like the biggest thing for me, is my energy level is like a lot better than I've ever seen. I feel a lot better. I'm not tired. I'm not yawning all the time. But that's like probably the biggest thing, is my energy level.
Oh yeah, that's great. That's definitely the best biomarker I use to see how I'm doing. If I'm, you know, tired and just lagging all the time, like, you know, there's something probably not right. But yeah, if you have endless energy, you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a life changer. Just the energy level alone, I love. Like, I'm able to get up and just get moving.
Yeah, and the people around you, they've noticed the change in you, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny? Today I'm sitting in my department, and a guy that comes probably once a week, he says to me, "Where's your other half?" And I start laughing. I'm thinking he's talking about the girl I'm always with. He was talking about my body.
Yeah, because you've lost so much weight.
Yes. He goes, "Where's your other half?" I was starting laughing, and I'm like, oh, he goes, big difference. You know, people that hadn't noticed it, I hadn't, you know, honestly, like I tell Tyson all the time, I feel like if you've ever watched the movie Shallow Hal, I feel like I'm still looking at that big person in the mirror. Like, I don't feel like my body has changed till this last weekend. I finally sucked up the courage, and I took a picture, an after picture again, in just like some shorts and a sports bra. And my God, I probably looked at that picture 10 times just to see that it's almost half the person that I was.
Oh, it's a crazy difference. It really is.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. And it's hard to notice those changes on yourself, too, just because you see yourself every day. So it's hard to notice those big changes unless you, like, look at that from 6 months ago to today, something along those lines.
Oh, no, yeah. And people, like Tyson said, I have people all the time like, oh, my God. Some people, of course, you could see they're looking at me like, oh, something's different about you, and they don't want to say it. I won't say it. I just let them kind of like, you know, say it. And some people that I'm close to, I will say, like, I've lost some weight. And then when I tell them how much weight I've lost, they're like in shock. Like, I didn't know you have that much weight to lose. I knew I had it, but everyone else, for some reason, couldn't see that I had that much weight to lose.
So how much weight have you lost?
I'm at 28 pounds now.
That's great. And how tall are you?
5'1".
Exactly. That 28 pounds on a 5'1" frame is crazy. That's a big difference.
How long did it take you?
I think I'm going on 4 months. I started this May 25th or something like that. And I think it's been, yeah, we're going on about, I think yesterday or a couple days ago, it was like exactly 4 months since I've started this.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of weight in such a short period of time.
Yeah, and it's a huge body recomposition. Like, I saw those pictures, and it's not like you were ever really, like, obese or anything, but you definitely were, you carried your weight in your midsection, which is such a telltale sign of, like, insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, and now your stomach is completely flat, and that's where the biggest changes have occurred, and that's such a great sign of overall health.
Yeah, and you have 3 kids at home, like, you have all the excuses in the world, and you still find time to do it also. So it's great that you're able to pass along this good message so other people can realize, hey, I don't really have an excuse, it's just me not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest excuse. I would use my kids, or, like, I'm busy, or, you know, all the different excuses we all look for, but at the end of the day, I took that chance, and like I told Tyson, I want to go to the gym at 4 in the morning so I don't feel like I'm taking from my kids. Because sometimes I felt like then I'm going to the gym in the evenings, and then I'm not able to be with them or do homework or do, you know, certain things. So now I took that, you know, it's hard to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some days are harder than others, but it's what I have to do to keep myself healthy and not take from my kids. So I could choose to use the excuse that I don't want to get up early and I don't go because I don't want to take from them. No, I make the time when they're sleeping, I go, I do my workout. I come back with a lot more energy. My patients seem a lot better with them. You know, we still have our days, but just everything overall, just eating better. I just feel better all around.
Yeah. And there is something to outworking people that is motivating. When you know it's dark outside, when you know it's cold and it's hard to wake up, and you put in more work than most people have all day within 2 hours, and it's only 6 a.m., that is motivation. That's like, that makes you feel good. That makes you know you're actually putting in work.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I know, I thrive on that shit. I love knowing that I'll outwork people. Like, I love it. That's just what I live on.
Yeah, especially working out, like, first thing in the morning, then you're like, no matter what happens the rest of the day, at least I accomplished that.
Exactly.
Like, you could just be the laziest person and just binge watch Netflix for the rest of the day, but you still got your workout in, so you were still productive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It makes me feel better, like, on the weekends. I don't go all the time on the weekend. I do it, like, during the week, but when I do go and work out on the weekends, and if I just sit on the couch all day, I'm like, okay, it's okay. I already worked out. I'm fine for the day.
So just so our audience knows, what meal plan were you on? What were you eating? Were you doing the whole food? Were you doing keto combination? Were you on the carnivore one?
I think when I started, it was a little bit of a combination, like keto and just, or more of a low carb, I want to say, because I had one carb for like the first 2 weeks and the berries was included. So I'm not sure what that one's called, but after the 2 weeks, I know it was straight just keto. So I've been doing keto now for about 3.5 months.
Yeah, she started initially Whole Foods, and then she just responded so great that we transitioned her to keto fairly quick. Normally, you know, we give it a month, maybe even 8 weeks to kind of help your body get fat adapted, but she dove in head first and just killed it from day one.
So what challenges did you face with this new diet change?
I think the first challenge was just eating different, eating at these times, the way I ate, no snacking. That was my biggest challenge because I love to snack. You know, when you have kids around, you have, you know, things, chips and candy and, you know, like my kids don't eat it all the time, but we have it there. You know, if they want a snack or here and there just to take with them, you know, I let them have it. And my biggest, I think, treat for myself was always like the chips, and I love my chips. So that was, I think, the biggest challenge was just changing the way I ate and just knowing, you know, just the timing. Because to me, it was like I work, my shift is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And I would always tell myself, but I never did it, was why are you eating breakfast at 8 a.m. and then you're eating lunch 3 hours later? Like, I wasn't even hungry, but it was one of those things where, oh, it's my lunchtime. Let me go and now, you know, have lunch. You're just eating because you feel like you have to because it's your lunchtime. So that was probably the biggest challenge, was going from eating like 3-4 times a day to the 2 times and not feeling hungry. The first 2 weeks, I will say, was hard. I did feel hungry in between, but after that, it's like my body knew, like, okay, it's noon. I would get hungry, and there was times where I would be so busy I wouldn't be able to eat at that time. I wouldn't be hungry anymore, and I would just eat dinner and be fine.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like you became fat adapted pretty quick. Do you think you were actually hungry, or do you think you were hungry just because you were used to eating at those times?
I feel like I was hungry because I was used to eating at those times.
Okay.
And you've done some extended fasts, right? So what's the longest you fasted now?
I think the longest one was 60 hours.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Do you think you ever would have been able to do that 4 months ago when we first started talking about this?
Oh, definitely not. There was even some challenges in there because I was eating all day on one of the days. So the food was around. They would come in with lunch at 12 and you could just smell everything. So that made it harder for me. I did go through a little, you know, where I'm like, you know, you feel like you're hungry. Like, if it's out of sight, out of mind. If it wasn't there, I don't even think about it. I don't even want it. But since it was there, I felt like, yeah, I'm hungry.
So how'd you overcome some of these challenges, especially when you were doing some of your fasting?
I would have to, like, when we had the meetings, when they were eating, I would either go outside, you know, just put my headset on, watch a movie during the lunchtime. Once they were done eating, I would just go back in. But as for when I'm at home or, like, at work, just staying busy, like if I'm at home cleaning, doing stuff for the kids, or when I'm here at work, just staying busy, grab my tea, my water, go for a walk. But just, it's more for me, it's just staying busy, not thinking about it.
Yeah, that always makes fasting a lot easier. Do it on your busier days. When you're at home, just twiddling your thumbs, fasting can be hard for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy how often we reach for food just because we're bored and we have it there. It's not like we're hungry or anything. It's like, oh, you know, I could eat. I got some free time. It's weird how that happens.
Oh, yeah, or stress. For me, it's stress. Like, as soon as I stress, I feel like I need sweets or something. It's just always been mental like that, for me at least.
Oh, yeah, that's very common. Stress eating, especially you want that chocolate, something sugary. So just one final question. Do you have any advice for others that are trying to improve their health?
Yeah, maybe just struggling, trying to lose weight. They don't know what to do. What advice could you give them?
Like I tell everyone, because I've had people come to me that are now going through you, or even friends that have asked me, how do I do it? When I tell them about keto, I just say, you know what? I wasn't, when I first started it, I didn't think it was going to work for me, because I'm thinking, how is it eating red meats and all of these fats going to really make you lose weight? I just advise them, it works. I'm living proof. I've lost the weight. I've done it. And I always tell, and I tell them, it's not easy. I'm not going to say you can just jump in and lose the weight, but I will honestly say I have had my down moments where I'm like, you know, starting to feel like I just want to give up. But when I think back at how far I've come and how much this does not feel like a diet, I always tell people that, like, it doesn't feel like a diet. Yeah, like every, you know, diet planner, when you're trying to lose weight, it is hard. You are going to have those moments where you want what you used to have, and that's okay. But you get through it, it works, you lose the weight, you'll get results.
There you go. That's all it takes, man. A little dedication, a little willpower, and you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in, Nancy. We really appreciate it.
Yes. No, thank you guys for all your help.
Of course. And you're killing it. Keep it up. Read that book today. Don't think I forgot about that.
Thanks, guys. I will try to get a chapter in.
All right, great. Thank you for your time, Nancy. It was finally nice to finally talk to you.
You too. Thanks, guys. Right, have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was Nancy, again, one of our clients who's really killing it. She's been doing so good, and we're all really proud of her. She should be proud of herself as well. But let's finish this podcast with another tip of the week. So what's the tip this week?
All right, so if you just listened to the interview with Nancy, most of the challenges and stuff that she was struggling with were on the mental side, not so much the physical side. She was snacking because she was bored or because she was stressed. You're not physiologically hungry there. You're mentally hungry just because, hey, you're a little stressed. You want a little bit of extra blood sugar, something along those lines. So one strategy that I found that really helps me, and it's helped several of our clients as well, is finding a why. Now, that why can be something as simple as, hey, I want to look good naked. But if it's something that shallow, it's probably not really going to matter that much when, you know, you're super stressed out and there's a bunch of cookies around, so you're probably still going to go for those cookies. You need to find a why that's, like, really powerful. So something like, hey, I want to walk my kids down the aisle. If I don't change my ways, I'm going to have diabetes and lose a toe. Or I want to make sure I don't get heart disease or cancer later on, so I want to take care of all my health markers now. It's better to just stay healthy than to get sick and get healthy later on. That's a lot harder to do. So finding your why. So in those moments of weakness, you have something to help carry you through. So my why is actually pretty simple. I would recommend finding a deeper why, but it works for me. I feel better when I eat good than when I don't. Like, I notice my shoulders start hurting. I'm just moody. My energy levels are off if I start eating crappy. So I just like feeling good, so I eat good. But if that's not deep enough for you, then find something better. Find something with a deeper meaning. Associate your kids into it. Hey, I want to set a good example for my kids. I want to set a good example so my parents can change their ways, so they can start eating better and live a long and healthy life as well. So just finding your why and make sure it's strong enough. It only matters to you. It doesn't matter to anybody else, but make sure your why is strong enough to you that it'll help you carry through when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling low, and you want some cookies.
That's great. That's a great advice. Yeah, find your why and focus on that in those times of weakness and push through. So that's another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition in the books. You can find us again online at our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at tntwellnessandnutrition@gmail.com. And you can also find us on all social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah, look for us. We're the flexing bicep and the blue heart. Keep sending in those questions for our Q&A. We're about ready. We almost have enough. Thanks for joining us today. Have a happy and healthy week.